Today we're continuing a series we started last week. We're calling it Game Plan, Strategies for Winning Relationships. And last week, we started by pointing out that the first and most important step when you're establishing a relationship is the draft. You know, the draft where the teams choose the people that are going to be on their team. NFL teams know this. They know that the right players can lead them to a Super Bowl and the wrong players can totally wreck their season. And that the same is true, it holds true in life, that we need to choose the right people to be in close relationship with. But once we have made that decision today, and by the way, if you didn't get a chance to hear that message last week, if you're single or you're dating or you're engaged, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. Hopefully it will be helpful to you, especially if you're in that place where you're still picking, you're still choosing the people that you're gonna be in close relationship with. I would encourage you to take a listen to that. But today what we're talking about is like when you're in, I mean, it is game day, it is game on. You are in the relationship. What is God's pathway? What is God's game plan for us once we're in relationship together? And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And so I want to just point out, we're going to go to scripture and look at a mindset where our relationships can thrive. But the first thing that I want to do is I want us to look at some a mindset or three mindsets that can really take our relationships off course, that can kill relationships. And I want to say this up front. I know some of you probably a relationship series is the last thing that you want to hear. And I get it. Maybe it's because of a wound in a friendship or in your marriage or things just aren't going well right now. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're even hanging on by a thread. And messages like this can be hard to hear. But I want to encourage you in that. And last week, I encouraged you. Maybe you're even in a place where your marriage has grown so cold, you're beginning to even entertain divorce. Or maybe you're already in those proceedings. And I encouraged you last week, and I want to encourage you again this week. Maybe just put that on pause just for a few weeks as we're looking at God's game plan for relationships. Give God time to work. And I want to be very clear. We're not talking, if you find yourself in an abusive relationship or situation, that is not what we're talking about. If that's you, you need to run, you need to get out. What we're talking about is when the relationship has grown cold. And we need to give God an opportunity to work, or maybe we need to go back to the beginning. Maybe we didn't build the relationship based on God's game plan. And now we're kind of going back and saying, okay, God, I need you to restore this relationship. I need you to redeem it in only the way that you can. Maybe you're even saying, I need a miracle in this relationship. Well, God can do that. He specializes in that. And here's what we know. And some of you, you have lived life long enough. You know this is true. But relationships don't fall apart overnight. Right? Like it's going to take us time to get back there because it took us time to get here. It's usually not one big argument or one decision that wrecks a relationship. No, it's typically a mindset that starts to sneak in, a mindset that over time, it just eats away, it erodes at the relationship. And so here's just a few things, just to kind of get us thinking about that. Three mindsets that will kill relationships. Number one is just surrender. Okay, this is especially if you're married, this is surrender. This is roommate's mode. You're just going through the motions. There's no one's fighting for the relationship anymore. You've kind of lost hope. You're sharing a house, but somewhere along the way, you just stopped sharing life together. And then here's a second mindset we need to avoid. Settle. The settle mindset, the tolerance trap. This is where, you know, I tolerate you, you tolerate me. It is what it is. Let's just agree to disagree. And so you don't get out of the relationship, you just choose to settle. And then the third mindset that kills relationships, scorekeeping. We'll talk a little bit more about this later, but this is the 50-50 mindset. This is, you know, I did this for you, you need to do this for me. And then also sometimes it's, hey, you didn't do this for me, and so I'm not going to do that for you. It's scorekeeping, and it's lethal to a relationship. So those are the things that we want to avoid. But today, I hope you have your Bibles with you. I want to encourage you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, because in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to find a mindset that doesn't kill relationships, but actually makes them thrive. Philippians chapter 2 was written by the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Philippi, and he's writing to encourage them. He wants to encourage their joy, but he also wants to encourage their unity together. And so Paul is the one who's writing, but he's writing because Jesus is the one who has lived this life. Look at what he writes, Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and he knows they do, if any comfort from his love, which he knows they've experienced, if any common sharing in the Spirit, he knows that's going on, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your, what, church? In your relationships with one another, have the same, what? As Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? In your relationships. This is so important that Paul's writing about this. He's writing to this church about this. He's writing to us about this in your relationship. So it's not just a matter of having faith. It's a matter of how we relate to one another. It's a matter of how we treat each other, how we're kind to one another. We want to treat each other as Christ has treated us and relate to others as Christ relates to us. So in your relationships, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God's game plan is for relationships, here it is. Foundationally, it is the mindset of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what we might call this in a nutshell. Great relationships choose we over me. Say that with me. Great relationships choose we over me. This is the mindset of Jesus Christ, to choose we over me. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about three ways to choose we over me. The first thing that we see is to choose unity over winning. I'm curious, how many of you are married? Show of hands, how many of you are married? Okay. You had to raise his hand for him? Okay, all right, we'll talk later. How many of you are usually right? Okay, got that. Oh, she's raising your hand for you again. Okay, you're usually right. Now, you're both raising your hand. Y'all are a lot of fun. This is going to be fun, okay? Sometimes that can, you know, get a little confusing. Alicia and I, we're both firstborn, which means we can both be a little bit stubborn sometimes. Is that fair to say? A little stubborn? Okay, sometimes it works for us, sometimes it works against us. And I can't even remember the last time that we had a really big fight. Okay, it was Friday morning, January 3rd. It was about, it was pretty early in the morning. And I remember that because it was after Christmas break. And so, you know, all the kids are kind of going back to college and going on their way. So it was really early in the morning, early morning flights, kind of getting them on their way. It was probably about 4 in the morning. And Alicia just, you know, said, hey, I noticed over the break there were times where you didn't seem all that happy, you know, to join in and be a part of everything that was going on. And I thought, 4 in the morning, we both had very little sleep, this would be the perfect time to tell her what I think. It wasn't. And I got to be honest with you, there were so many moments in that conversation that there's this little voice going, this isn't going well. Maybe you should retreat. And I hear that little voice and you know, I'm just like, you know, now, why do I do that? Because there's something in me, I want to win. Did you know that you can win an argument and lose the relationship? Okay, I'm seeing some heads nodding here. Those of you worshiping with us online, maybe some heads are nodding there. Yeah, you can win the argument and lose the relationship. The Apostle Paul knew this, and that's why he wrote these words. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So which are you choosing in your relationships? Maybe you're single. Maybe you're looking to strengthen your friendships. I want you to think about this. Maybe you're dating or engaged or you're married. Think about this. Think about the way that you interact with somebody else. How's the relationship going? How's it working for you? And then ask yourself, am I choosing unity or am I choosing winning? Paul is writing to the church at Philippi to strengthen their unity. In fact, in chapter 4, we find out that he's actually encouraging two friends who have beef with each other. He names them Euodia and Syntyche. He's writing like, I see you, and the two of you, y'all need to figure this out. You've got this conflict going on. Y'all aren't seeing eye to eye, and it's impacting everyone. It's impacting the body in a negative way. And what does he encourage them in chapter 4? The same thing that he says in chapter 2. I encourage you to have the same mind. The same mindset as Jesus Christ. So, how do we do that? On a practical level, what's one thing that we could do to choose unity over winning? Maybe you do this. This week, instead of proving your point, practice active listening. I know this is hard for some of you. Practice active listening. Repeat back to what the other person says before you respond. Okay? The reason that you do that is because it forces you to actually listen to them. This is not when you just wait for them to stop talking so that you can, you know, get one in there. Oh, yeah, well, you just got that one in your back pocket. You've been saving. Don't do that. Practice active listening. Now, this only works, and listen, works. I'm not trying to say this is some pragmatic strategy to manipulate another person. No, you have to actually care what the other person is saying. The point is to care as Jesus cared, to listen as Jesus would listen. That's what it means to have the same mindset. So I want you to think about the conversations that you find yourself in. Are you actively listening? To the point that you can say, what I hear you saying is, and then you repeat what you heard. Maybe put it in your own words. Maybe give the other person an opportunity to say, no, that's not exactly what I meant. Thanks for the opportunity to clarify. Think about how that gets you out of the cycle of winning, as if it's some zero-sum game, and gets you into the cycle of understanding. It's not just seeking to be understood, but seeking to understand. It's just such a simple, practical way to practice the mindset of Jesus. Now, the second way that we can choose we over me is to choose serving over scorekeeping. The brother of Jesus, his name was James. James wrote James. In James chapter 4, he cautions us. Look at what he writes in verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? I don't know how you thought that scripture was going to end. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Them. right? Like we always think it's the other person. Well, they did that. They said that. Here we go, you know? And James says, no, let me tell you what causes the fights and the quarrels among you. It's your desires, your expectations. What do? We say, here's my desires, you need to fulfill them. Here's my expectations, you need to meet them. And this is such a crazy thing, and talk about getting into a fight faster than anything, that's just to have unmet expectations. Maybe the expectations were never articulated, maybe they were, but when we don't meet each other's expectations, that's where it starts. And James is saying, you need to dig a little deeper. And if you dig deep enough, typically what you're going to find at the bottom of that argument is that it started with your desires, that battle within you. That's why Paul wrote this, to counter that. Paul said, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. The hardest friendships to ever be a part of are the ones that are built on scorekeeping. Scorekeeping, I'm talking about you did this, so I'm gonna do that. Or you didn't do this, so I'm not gonna do that. It's scorekeeping, it's 50-50, it's quid pro quo. And scorekeeping will kill the relationship. You see, that's not love. That's a contract. And praise be to God that Jesus did not treat us that way. Jesus did not say, you need to get yourself cleaned up. You need to get your stuff together. And then I'll think about saving you. Then I'll think about rescuing you. Then I'll think about choosing a relationship with you. He did not do that. Instead, he freely gave himself. Before your best moments, before your worst moments, Jesus gave himself for you. Praise be to God that Jesus wasn't in to keeping score. Instead, he modeled for us the way of relationships is serving one another. So here's the next step. To live into this, do one unexpected act of service this week without expecting anything in return. I don't know what this might be for you. And, you know, I hope this week that you really will take this into consideration. Just one unexpected act of service. I don't know. Okay, men, maybe this is for you. Maybe you're going to unload that dishwasher and you're not going to tell the world about it, okay? Maybe I'm just preaching to myself here. I don't know. Just do it and don't say anything about it. I'll say, hey, I noticed the dishwasher is empty. Just wanted to let you know. Did a little vacuuming as well, you know. I mean, just serve without expecting anything in return. They might not ever know. They might not ever say thank you. Do it anyway. Why? Because this is the mindset of Jesus. The one who came not to be served, but the one who came to serve. Let's live into that and watch our relationships thrive. Here's the third thing, that if you want to choose we over me, you need to choose humility over selfishness. Jesus modeled this. He lived this. He didn't just teach about humility. He lived it and he modeled it. And no one lived this out greater than he did. I grew up singing a song that really helped me with this. The song was called, He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels. Because that song reminded me of his sovereignty, of his command over everything. If there was ever anybody who had the authority to overtake their enemies, who had the power to overtake their enemies, who had the right. And Jesus Christ was the only person who lived a perfect life. He was the one that had the right, the power, and the authority to take vengeance, yet he did not. Why? Because he humbled himself. He humbled himself for you and for me, ultimately, Jesus chose we over me. He humbled himself to death, even to death on a cross. Isn't that what Paul told us? Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Well, Paul, what's your point? And you have to know, even a contemporary of Paul, his name was Seneca, and he wrote, those that were going to the cross wish that they were dead already. What was he trying to say? He was trying to say that there's nothing more humiliating than the cross. There's nothing more shameful. There's nothing more excruciating. That's why Paul writes, even death on a cross, he lowered himself. He humbled himself. He became one of us so that he could save us. Jesus lived out a life of humility. You know, you ever wondered why some relationships thrive and some tend to die on the vine? Have you ever wondered maybe why some marriages make it and some marriages don't? In fact, some marriages even making it to 30, 40 plus years and then they call it quits. Why? Well, at some point in the relationship, either one or both of the parties began to choose selfishness over humility. Selfishness will kill our relationships, but humility allows them to thrive. Humility not only nurtures our relationship, but it protects them as well. So, practical step, ask yourself daily, how can I put we over me in this moment? Because it really is a daily denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Jesus. Day by day, moment by moment, how can I choose we over me in this moment? At the end of the day, the only way we can live like this is through the power of Jesus. You can read all the books, listen to the messages, you can go to counseling, and all those things are really good, and I recommend all of those things. But the only way that we can live like this is to have Jesus within us. My good friend Jim Barker loves to say, it's the difference in a professing Christian and a possessing Christian. A professing Christian, it's all about the performance. Well, I'm gonna behave into this. Well, I'm gonna do this to try to get this. It's performative. But the possessing Christian is being changed from the inside out. The power of the Holy Spirit changing us from the inside out. So friend, some of you, you're struggling in your relationship because you've tried to do it in your own power. And I lovingly want to ask you, how is that working for you? I know I've tried it. I know I can drift back into it. It's day by day. It's moment by moment. To remind myself that what my spouse needs, what my friends around me need, they don't just need more of me, they need more of Jesus. And I can't give something that I haven't first received. So if you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, if you've never trusted him, you can't give, and I know you want to, but you can't give what you haven't received. Jesus humbled himself, even to death on a cross. He chose we over me. You know what he chose? He chose you. The question is, have you chosen him? The question is, have you laid down your life and surrendered it to him? Friend, there is no greater decision. There's no greater power in your life. And I know because I've talked with some of you, you're in a place right now where you're hurting in your relationships and you're trying to figure out, where do I go from here? Well, let Jesus guide you. A wise counsel around you, yes, but let Jesus guide you. So if you've never made that decision before, I don't want you to leave here today without having the opportunity to make the decision to say yes to Jesus. He will change your life and he will change your relationships. The question is, will you let him? So we're going to pray together because that's a way of us beginning. Some of you are beginning a relationship with Jesus today, the most important relationship that you will ever have in this life. We're going to pray. And then after that prayer, if you're here today and you are making a decision to say yes to Jesus for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, we're going to invite you to stand because we want to encourage you in that. In our services today, we've seen people boldly and courageously stand and declare their faith in Jesus. So let's take this opportunity and let's talk to Jesus. Let's pray to him. Repeat after me if you will. Jesus, I'm not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me, change me, forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.